Good morning. It is with a lot of mixed emotions that I say that this is my last time preaching for you. That is until one day that Craig asked me to come back as a guest speaker. So I thought that it was only fitting to start by taking a look back at some of the mistakes that I have made along the way. The first one that comes to mind is I once stood up in front of everyone doing the announcements and I said the word moist instead of the word most. That was not very good. Another one is I did the entire announcement section with my fly down. But my favorite, and Craig loves this one as well. The first time I was ever running adventure camp by myself, it was the year 2017. And we were having beef burgers for lunch. And by this point, I had already given up eating beef. And I had never really had much experience cooking with it myself. So in preparation for lunch that day, coming from someone who only, you know, really cooks with chicken, I thought that you had to defrost it. So I figured that 60 frozen beef patties needed to be defrosted in hot water before thrown onto the grill. Needless to say, everyone's lunch for that day quickly turned into a giant pile of mush. Thankfully, Craig and Jenny ran out and bought new beef patties for everyone that day. Thank you. So I've had my fair share of interesting experiences also just with working with our youth over the years. I was once about halfway through preaching a sermon in the fireside room when I realized that two students were actually sitting up in the fireplace. That was a fun one. I've had to go to a student's house to retrieve a stolen iPad and also completely adapted to a new way of hosting online youth during a global pandemic. Maybe some of you remember that. But the opportunities that I have had during this last decade have been incredible. In my first couple of years here, I had the chance to become a credentialed BCMB pastor through an extensive writing and interview process. I've had the joy of getting to officiate for friends' weddings. I've had the opportunity to partner with Youth Unlimited, which has been a huge blessing for me. Through this, I get to go to Eugene Reimer once a week, and I get to do lunch supervising and make relationships with kids there. I've also had the chance to volunteer with their after-school program, and even get to do a little bit of mentoring with some girls from Rickhanson, and this has been a huge blessing to me. I've gotten to speak at MEI in their grade 8 Bible class a number of times. I've also gotten the chance to partner with my other youth pastor friends, so partner with their churches, including Broadway and Main Street from Chilliwack, to run different events and retreats together. I've also been to more graduation ceremonies than I can count on two hands. But also, I grew up here. I started attending Ross Road with my family maybe around 2003 or 4. I never went to youth group regularly because I grew up doing competitive dance. But I would go to the odd all-nighter or adventure camp here and there. So I had both Darren and primarily Craig as my youth pastor. In fall of 2010, I had to beg my dance teachers to allow me to have Monday nights off so that I could be a volunteer for Ross Road Youth Middle School Youth. So since that year 2010, I have been involved in this ministry in at least some capacity. In 2012, I graduated from high school and I went to Summit Pacific Bible College and I did 4 years there, starting with the Omega Global program and then finishing with a Bachelor of Arts in Religion with my major in youth ministry. During those years, I stuck around Ross Road as a volunteer with the youth. In summer of 2013, I worked as a full-time intern alongside Jordan Regeer. And from 2014 to 2016, I would work part-time or as a part-time intern during my school years. And then in 2016, once I graduated from college, I would apply for the Associate Pastor of Student Ministries job and cause this church to take a look at what they believed about women in vocational ministry. Although this was a painful experience for me at first, I am so proud to say that the church came out of that on the other side with the decision that allowed women to serve as both not only associate pastors, but also as elders. Now, I want to talk a little bit about my decision to move on from Ross Road, at least in a staff position. So even when I was back in Bible school, I always knew that I wanted to be a youth pastor. I have always known that I love working with adolescents. It was never something that I wanted to do as a stepping stone into something else. I knew I was passionate about working with young adolescents, even when I was somewhat of a young adolescent myself. Over the years in my position here, this passion grew stronger and more specific. I found myself coming into conversations regularly with youth regarding mental health that I desperately wished that I had the words for, and I just didn't. It became very apparent to me that I really wanted to understand how to help young people with their mental health. In 2023 came a time when I started contemplating taking a sabbatical. This was coincidentally around the time that Travis Martin's had about 1 year left of his Bible school. He had already spent a year interning with me, and I saw that he would be an incredible successor to take over my position. And I knew that I never wanted to leave this job unless I felt like it was in really good hands. So I began to think far into the future and felt like my time wasn't quite done at Ross Road, but maybe we could set up a transition for the future. So after my sabbatical in 2024, Travis and I began sharing this job officially. And since 2024, I was keeping my options open in terms of what was next for me career-wise. I had pondered going to work with Youth Unlimited full-time, and there was another part of me that really was considering going back to school. Now, I had always been a little bit afraid of going back to school because academics haven't always come the most naturally to me. When I was in Bible school, I think I did know I wanted to be a youth pastor, but I was 17 to 21, and I felt quite young, and I was there for largely a social element of things, although I did learn a lot. But I always remembered that studying for exams and writing papers, it was never something that came easily to me. So I kind of wrote it off as something that maybe I couldn't do again. I can't go back to school, and I started thinking too, as an adult single person, how would I afford to go back to school and still pay the bills that I need in order to live? And I started having conversations with people and realized that, you know what, maybe this is actually a possibility and I just need to go for it. So happy to say that in fall 2024, I was accepted at Trinity Western University in what is called a degree completion program. Essentially, this is completing all the necessary prereqs that I would need in order to apply for a master's in counseling psychology. And as of today, I can officially say that I am halfway done this degree completion program. And I have been absolutely loving my classes so far, and it gives me great optimism about the future of my career. I'm very excited about it. So once this master's program is completed, far into the future, I am keeping my options open, but the goal is to work with youth in a counseling setting, whether that is through guidance counseling at a middle school or a high school, or maybe working with a private practice as a youth specialist counselor, or maybe something I haven't even considered yet. I know that working with youth and with their mental health, that's where you're going to find me. So I've talked a little bit about my journey here, but I want to talk to us today a little bit about my journey with identity throughout this whole process. And I want to speak from 1 Corinthians 15:10. So I had been struggling a little bit with the thought of identity. In exactly 1 month, I will no longer be a youth pastor. I am transitioning out of a role that I have done for almost a decade. For the last decade, if I ever had a scenario in which someone said, you know, tell me about yourself. The answer was almost always first, well, I'm a pastor. What am I supposed to say now? I'm Holly. Sometimes I have funny jokes. I guess I could say I'm a student again. I am an aspiring counselor. Sometimes I'm a florist. But why is it that the most part that when it comes to identity, my brain first goes to occupation? That's what I go to explain my identity. When really, who I am first and foremost is someone who is saved by grace. This should come first, and everything else we do should flow from this. So this passage that I'm going to speak on here for a few minutes says this very thing. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Now, it's worth noting that this verse is written by Paul, and the verse beforehand says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Paul was actively persecuting the church when God called him to himself. Now, I want to ask you right now, why do you think that you deserve to go to heaven when you pass away? Do you think that Paul would have thought that he deserved to go to heaven? You know, immediately when we think about this question, we probably start thinking about maybe all the nicest things that someone has ever done for us in our lives. You know, I want you to think about the nicest thing that someone has ever done for you. Think about it. Even this would not be enough for someone to get into heaven. It almost seems kind of frustrating, doesn't it? That something that nice wouldn't allow us to get into heaven. But understanding salvation is knowing that our only way to heaven is through relationship with Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, a minute ago, I said that even the nicest thing in the world could not gain you access to heaven. What this also means is that your worst sin couldn't separate you from the grace of God. There is nothing we can do that God cannot forgive. Now, I know you might be sitting there and you might be listening and you might be thinking, "Holly, you don't know what my worst sin is. And there's no way that God could forgive it." But this is the beauty of grace. This is sometimes what also makes the world a confusing place to live in. How can God have grace for everything? But it is this grace that we receive through the relationship with Jesus Christ which allows us to one day have eternal life with God. And when we really understand this truth that it is grace which we have been saved and not from any of our own actions, this is where the truest understanding of our identity can begin. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. Everything I have is because of the grace of God. Every decision I make should start with knowing that I am saved by grace. I think our decisions could look a lot different if we really believed this to our core. And I also want to say that I am not perfect. I am here preaching this to myself. If you get something out of it, that's great. I will continue to mess up just like you will. And how beautiful a gift of grace that no matter how many times we mess up, God still forgives us and gives us room to work on ourselves. This doesn't mean that we should take grace for granted, but rather live in gratitude for this and allow our lives to reflect that. Now, coming back to identity, I think it can be formed by many different things. You know, maybe you are an athlete. Maybe you are a straight-A student. Maybe you're a musician. Maybe you're a brother, a sister, a daughter, a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, best friend, the list goes on and on. And it is completely fine to identify yourself with these things. And I believe that God wants us to find joy in these things. He wants us to find joy in the activities that we participate in and the relationships we have with others. This is not wrong. I know who I am today because of friends and family and mentors and my passions and my life hardships. These things have shaped me into who I am. But the only time that this is destructive is when you identify yourself only with these things. Because the scary thing about this life is that all of these things can be taken away in an instant. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I have to say that this passage means a lot to me for a number of reasons. One of them being that I had a friend named Annalise, and she passed away suddenly in 2016 due to complications from diabetes. She knew this verse deeply. She was an incredibly confident and funny and passionate child of God. And she actually got this verse as a tattoo about a month before she passed away. So every time I hear this passage, I think about her. I think about how deeply she knew this truth, that it was by the grace of God that she truly knew her deepest identity. It's important for us to remember that everything in this life is temporary. But who I am in the eyes of God, that is eternal. I get to be Auntie Holly. I've had the chance to be a youth pastor for the last decade. I get to be a friend and mentor, a daughter and a sister. all because I have been saved by grace. Another beautiful thing about grace is that we don't have to be defined by our mistakes and our past. Do you ever feel like sometimes you've made so many mistakes that you don't even recognize yourself? I have. And when I start to act in a way that is out of God's character, I start to feel less and less like myself. Because the core of who I am starts with grace. It starts with God, and everything else should come second. The incredible thing, again, is that God looks at me and sees someone who is not defined by my mistakes. He sees someone he loves. And there's scripture to prove it, and I want to read a couple of those. 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And 1 Corinthians 12:27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." I think something really powerful we can take away from reading these verses is that we are a part of something so much bigger than ourselves. I am glad that my identity doesn't end with me, because I get to be a part of something so much bigger than myself. I am so glad that I don't have all the answers, because God has them. And I am so glad that who I am will live on past my life here on earth. And that has nothing to do with my identity or the good deeds that I may or may not do, but all because of who Jesus is and what he did for us. I am who I am because of the grace of God. I am who I am because of the friends and family in my life. I am who I am because of experiences that have shaped me. I am who I am because I get to be an auntie, a daughter, a sister, a friend, all because of the grace of God. I will no longer be a pastor in just a month, but I can take joy in knowing that everything else I am because of grace. Now I want to ask you, who do you get to be because of the grace of God? Now, as I wrap up, I wanted to note something a little bit off topic, but I worked at Camp Luther for many, many summers in between my Bible school years, and I had the privilege of working with the great Matt Castle, and I will always remember something he said to me when I was deciding whether or not to apply to Ross Road or not. And he said, because I always remember at this time saying that I loved the kids that I got to work with, and he said to me, "Don't choose your job because of the kids. Choose your job because you love the vision of your church." This was confusing for me as a 21-year-old, because I felt that I had such a passion for the kids that I was working with at the time. But oddly enough, he was right. I have had the privilege of not just getting to work with one incredible group of students, but many. One of the most special parts of this job has been getting to see students grow up and become leaders and disciples. And he was absolutely right. I saw where Ross Road was going, and I said I wanted to be a part of it. And I'm so glad that I did. Ross Road is a beautiful, welcoming, inspired, and faithful church. I am so honored that I get to call a place like this my home church. You have allowed me to grow, to make mistakes, to try new things, to take risks, and to discover my own passions and to be a disciple. And I want to deeply thank you for that. So let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for the time that I have been able to have here in this position. God, I thank you for every single person that I've gotten to work with on staff or in a volunteer setting. God, I thank you for the many, many people that make up Ross Road. God, I am so thankful for your grace. God, thank you that because of your grace, I am what I am, and that because of that grace, I have gotten to be a pastor. God, I have been able to be a friend and a mentor and all of these different things. God, I am so thankful for you for that. God, I want to pray for Ross Road moving forward. God, I thank you so much for the welcoming community that Ross Road is. God, I thank you for the vision that Ross Road has to be actively making disciples. God, I pray that that passion to create disciples would never die, and that this would continue on and on and on. God, I love you so much, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.